Honestly, I don't understand how you can drop out and call yourself a genius. Does that make you a genius dropout? The Genius Dropouts Podcast.
With Leonard Sekionda.
All right, so we are good to go.
All right, bet. Let me put my shit on silent.
1, 2, 1, 2. Got my coffee in there.
Coffee.
Man, I'm trying to work out.
There you go.
Yeah, no, it's just consistent. Taking the best of me in the mornings.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you tired, man, right?
It does. So we're here right now, live in the studios, Genius Dropouts, the podcast.
Love it.
Now, this podcast realistically is something which derived from a thought, and it's probably more through my personal experience as somebody that dropped out of school, and at the time, what was deemed as crazy, ended up being probably my most genius activity.
Mm.
Now, I don't think dropping out is the plural for being a genius, but I think in life we have different levels of things that we have to remove ourselves from in order to see the genius of it later, whether that's a relationship, whether that's a career or a job, whether it's a situation from work. And I think it's only through stories that you understand how the dropping out or stepping away from something has really led to, you know, really creating and manifesting bigger things for people in their lives.
Yeah.
So it's almost about just making sure people learn through the concept, or maybe redefine the concept of dropping out and seeing the genius in taking alternative steps in their life. And I have the pleasure today, all the way from the USA, but Canadian.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Of having the superstar, the rapper, the genius, the motivational speaker.
Oh, man.
In the room, Dax.
Dax!
Welcome to London, brother.
Man, I'm happy to be here, man. What you said really just struck a nerve with me, the intro you said. What was I thinking about while you were talking? I was trying not to think too much. I try not to think when people are talking. But it was like dropping out. Mm-hmm. I've always said like all the biggest moments in my life is when I've decided to like not, I wouldn't say quit.
Yeah,
I don't like that word, but like I always say, it's like you have to at any point in your life be willing to give up all that you are for what you will become.
Wow.
So it's like for me, I have like three big moments in that. It was like the first one was like I was in Canada. I wanted to play Division I basketball in America.
Yeah.
Right. And every Canadian school wanted me to come play basketball for them. And it wasn't until I told like myself, like I was supposed to apply for Canadian college, but I told myself if I'm not going to American school, I'm not going to college. So like everyone thought I applied for college in my school. But, like, I didn't. I just skipped out. So, like, if I didn't find something, I wasn't going to school. And then I found, like, a prep school that let me fly out and try out. I ended up going there. And then, like, at Newman, it was, like, it wasn't until I quit the basketball team when I transferred from D1. I quit the team because of all this shit that happened. Then they asked me to come back, and then everything changed. So, it's, like, there's big moments in my life where I let go of who I was, and it helped me become who I am. So that shit really struck a nerve.
When did you realize the genius? Is it now? Is it as you look back now, or is it at the time?
Realizing my genius?
The genius of those actions.
So for the one when I was in Canada, when I told myself I wasn't going to school unless it was in America, it wasn't until like I finally ended up now going to prep school. And then that, you know, once I got to D1, I looked back and said, wow, that was an important decision.
Yeah.
But like just like me like completely just saying like no, that's not an option, this is an option, like, and this is only what's happening, like the world just like conformed to what I wanted to. It was dope.
Wow. That's I think that's the interesting part, especially when you're going through those moments. They're so isolated. I saw an interview the other day, and you know, I think as I've got older, I'm 29 now, turning 30, and I've become a lot more in tune. I say more comfortable, because I think when you first start, you're very much affected by everything said to you. You know, in your school, if someone like your trainers, that could ruin your whole week, you know.
Yeah.
If you didn't pass that test, it would redefine how you think of yourself. But as you get older, you kind of start to trust the flow of divine order. Like,
yeah,
you kind of start to realize there's no such thing as coincidence, that everything's connected.
Yeah.
Have you had any moment of realizing or kind of discovering the spirituality in this journey this far?
Oh, hell yeah. Shit, one that just came to mind. So I met the dude at a bus stop, went to prep school, didn't even get recruited out of prep school. Some kid, like the day before I was about to go back to Canada, and because I told myself I wasn't going D2. That was another time I quit and said I wasn't going D2. Some kid at a college in Casper, Wyoming, was like the last scholarship spot they had, the kid who they were going to give it to was from Mexico, and he had already played pro. Wow. So my coach from my prep called me in like 2 days before. He's like, there's a spot at Casper. Like, they weren't recruiting you, but they have an open spot. And I know the coach, and I said, you're a great player. So I go there. That ended up working. I go D1. So it didn't work out at D1, but what happened was, like, I was the psychology major, right? And at this point, I wasn't making music at all. Never had, like, done music. I was in a choir as a kid and all this shit. We used to freestyle for fun, obviously, as basketball players. But so I switched my major to communications because some dude came into our class during a sports class, and he was like, the most important thing in the world is communications, and it will decide your life. Mm. Whether you either effectively communicate or fail to communicate something in the right way will decide your life. He's like, it starts wars and it ends wars, communication. So I was like, bet. I changed communications. And I had to fill up my class schedule because I was changing. So I was like, you know what? I want easy-ass classes. So I picked a singing class because I thought I would be able just to, like, go and skip and not have to be there. But then I showed up the first day, and the teacher was just, like, on my ass. And, like, I didn't like to sing, and it was embarrassing. Like, I wasn't that good back then, you know? So, like, that was one of those moments. Now I'm like, wow, like, I took a singing class randomly, and now I make music and sing.
Links to that.
Yeah.
What tell me, because we're talking about going from sports, which is, like, basketball, to now being a musician. Where did that transition happen?
So once I left Division I basketball, and I transferred to a small D2, I ended up going to a D2 back where I went to prep school. Because when I left, I tried out for their team, and the coach was like, if D1 doesn't ever work out, you always have a scholarship here. So as soon as D1 didn't work out, I get a call from Coach Potter, and I'm just like, Coach, I'm going to come play at Newman University. So I go there, and once I got there, Division II is a lot different than Division I. Like, we don't get as much. Like, I was still on full scholarship. I never paid for college, but, like, you get different amounts of money in terms of, like, extra spending money. Yeah. So I got a job as a janitor, and then on campus. And then they put me in the art section, like, where all the poetry was. So I was cleaning up after, like, all the plays, and I was cleaning up the art room and all the paint and shit like that. And I guess that just maybe, like, inspired me more to get into, like, myself. Mm-hmm. And then on the way to a game one time, I just wrote a poem.
Wow.
And that was it.
It's funny because my first encounter with your brand and what you do is very interesting, because it was one of the ones where you see something and it hits you and you're like, oh, and then circle back. Brittany's telling me, oh, artist Dax. I'm like, wow, like, I saw that. There was an interesting video you put up. I don't know. I can't even remember put a date to when you put it up or how I saw it. But there was a video you put up where you was a janitor. And I can't, and I don't know if I'm painting pictures in my head, but if I remember, there was footage of it. Mm. Of you being in a place where, like, a janitor, and then you circling back and, like, am I right?
It might be, like, self-proclaimed too, where I put clips of, like, back then, and, like in the video, like, how I went from that and then to, like,
yeah, so that's what stages. I saw. So tell me about that. What, you were a janitor initially? And
yeah, so I was. So I was playing college basketball. I transferred from D1 to Division II, a small private Catholic school in Kansas. Yeah. I got a job on campus as a janitor. So I was, like, cleaning up basically that whole building.
Yeah.
So I worked there for 2.5 years while I was going to school there.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened.
But how have you got to a space? And this is one thing. Obviously, it's very obvious, even on your Instagram. You're very, like, it's almost like you've assumed the position of, and it stands out because it's different, but you've assumed the position of someone, people say they're motivational, but someone that has a message, right? Mm. Why is that so important to you? Because it's very clear that you're kind of not just making music, but you're pushing a message. And I think it's probably what makes you stand out, because it's very clear that you're owning that message. And to the contrary, especially in the music industry, that can come out a bit to the left because people aren't that positive. Where does that come from with you?
I think that just comes naturally. For example, like, basketball, I was always a loud person on the court, but I was never the guy trying to tell people what to do. It was never like, yo, do this, do that, do this, do that. It was more like, yo, Dax is working the hardest and it's apparent. Like, he's screaming and shouting and diving on the floor. So if we don't, we look bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was always trying to lead by example. But then once I started, like, doing the music thing, I was like, okay, well, I can lead by example. But what if, like, people aren't watching my example? Like, maybe I have to start saying and motivating people.
Yeah.
So I thought it was just a cool dynamic to be able to, like, try to achieve my dreams and at the same time motivate people to achieve theirs. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're like, you know, we're traveling together. Mm-hmm. It's not just like, it's not just a journey of like, oh, let's watch Dax. It's more like, yeah, you know, like, he's motivating us to achieve our dreams. So while he's growing, we're growing. Yeah. So I just think that's important. I just think, you know, I feel like I have, like, a good voice to, like, cut through the microphone. So,
but it's not that simple, Dax. It's not.
I mean, that's as simple as it is in my brain.
Correct. In the sense of the mission. Yeah. But I think, especially, at the end of the day, you have a team around you. People are supporting the vision. but you have to go through it, right?
Yeah.
When I say you go through it, you're swimming in a territory which is the internet, the social media era. This is it's beautiful from the outside, but it's also dark from what it takes as a character to be resilient.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have positive comments, I'm sure you have negative comments.
Oh, hell yeah.
How do you navigate through that? Because this is that era where it can either make or break someone.
Yeah.
Overnight, right?
Yeah, I think how do I navigate through negative comments? I try to use negative comments as positive. What did I compare it to the other day? I said, you know, because I like to work out a lot. You know, the building muscle is literally breaking muscle. You have to break muscle to build muscle, tear muscle fibers to build them back stronger. So every time like I go through comments, I just think of the negative comments as me breaking down muscle to build back stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I try to attack negative comments. Obviously, I'm human, so it gets me down. But I learned this theory in when I was actually at my Division II school. It's called Red Light, Green Light. I forget his name. Fucking Coach Potter brought him to talk to us. I'd love to give him credit for his shit, but fuck it. What's his name? Anyway, it's called Red Light, Green Light.
Yeah.
So I believe like the separation between like greatness, like there's like different categories, right? There's like average, there's good, there's great, there's legendary. I believe what separates like good people from average people isn't how you necessarily, because everyone's human. Everyone feels like shit. Everyone, if I tell a girl she's ugly, she's going to feel it in some capacity.
Yeah.
I think what separates good from great is how quickly you go from feeling bad to good.
Mm-hmm.
Like how quickly you go from negative comments to positive.
Yeah.
So I still, like when I see a negative comment, it still hurts me like a normal human being, but I think like I'm extraordinary at going from feeling bad to feeling good. Like as soon as I hit a negative comment, I immediately like start flooding myself with positive shit.
Yeah.
So I think like it's I deal with negative comments by accepting them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes, I'm going to be hurt by these comments because I'm human. But now it's how quickly can I recover?
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I don't look at it as not being hurt. I just look at it that my recovery time is quicker than anyone else's.
So the bigger you get, do you think that volume or that voice, the negative voice, gets louder? You have to learn how to because like I think it's such a double-ended sword.
Yeah.
Success, especially socially at the moment. It's like the bigger, the more. I saw something the other day about Miley Cyrus having like a stalker following her to her show.
Oh, wow.
They had to arrest someone along those lines. And it's clearly because that person has fantasized about this character that they've never met, but because they're so accessible through stories and through people create a relationship with you that and a dialogue that you don't control.
Yeah.
The bigger you get.
Yeah, it's dangerous, man. It's crazy. I try to stay oblivious to a lot of that stuff and just like, you know, I'm pretty accessible when it comes to an artist. Like a lot of people can DM me, I DM them back.
Yeah.
So I think some of that breaks down the barrier of people like fantasize. That itself is a double-edged sword. Me being so accessible, like, oh, we can DM Dax and he's going to hit us back.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also like in a good way where it's like, I don't think people necessarily fantasize over me like that because they feel like, oh, I can get in contact with Dax. He's not some supernatural human being.
Yeah.
You know, so I try to do that. But as you get bigger, it gets harder. But yeah, I just think the negativity is just like, I learned everything from basketball.
Cool.
Like I couldn't shoot. Like I wasn't a natural basketball player, but I turned myself into one. I couldn't shoot. And then I became a great shooter. So it's like, I feel like dealing with negativity is just practice.
Yeah.
You know, you can avoid negative comments, but then you'll never get better at handling them.
That's true.
So it's like, you might as well just read them and just deal with it.
Yeah.
The more you read, the more used to it you'll get.
That's very true.
So I read comments, man. I just, you know, and like I get mad, but then I get mad, but then I get better.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's interesting because, you know, like you said, coming up on, you know, like a YouTube or an Instagram, the change is just like that. Right?
Yeah.
Like you can go from being a janitor to touring the world and traveling and having fans waiting for you in different cities.
Yeah.
How do you also adjust to that? How do you cope? Because people want growth so much.
Yeah.
They don't understand the responsibility of what comes with it. I mean, I remember the first time I had a business in the Philippines and I was 19. Yeah. Yeah, I used to fly from randomly I managed to get a deal going where I had a decoy picture on my Skype, which enabled me to, I wasn't confident being the black young man I was. I thought they'd like to do business with this white guy. So I put it on my Skype and
that's smart as fuck.
Yeah, and I just would talk to these agencies and say, listen, I can help you get nursing homes in the UK if you have nurses there for them to work at. So I'd managed to work out this deal and then found myself having no decoy to pay to go over there. So having to go over and seeing them embrace me. But when I first got there, And I started to make money from it, and I came back a different person. I came back, I had aspired to make money and to see wealth and, you know, create this image. But I remember coming back and just thinking, I'm the shit. Yeah. And I think I girlfriends, friends, I literally felt like I was the shit. And it was the first time that I was in a space where I was able to back up the act as if, you know.
Yeah.
I had a bit of money in my pocket. I had that little Mercedes Benz. I'm 20 now. I can go to the club. And I was so unaware of how I had to adjust with that responsibility, because you're spending like this, you're partying like that, you've lost your principles, you've lost your scores. And when my business, that business per se, got cut down because of immigration, I felt flat. I was on a sofa. I went all the way to the bottom, right? Yeah. And it was the most humbling experience as possible. And luckily I did it, you know, 2009, where Instagram wasn't there. So I could kind of go back and just rebuild myself slowly. But I think now, where everything happens in the public, where your rise and your demise can be posted in a second, you know?
Yeah, wild, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think that responsibility of knowing that I didn't have, I mean, I had the responsibility of knowing I've gone down and now this is it. But if I had it where it's like, oh, Leonard's now on a sofa at your sister's house and it's an article writes about it and I can't post stories no more because I'm on a sofa, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know how you navigate in that. But I think now the concept of success has a new responsibility with it, because now you're aware that the higher you go, the more people care, and the more people care, they're going to share every element of that. So how have you adjusted to this new level of responsibility, this new level of, you know, whether it's wealth, whether it's success, whether it's following or audience, how have you adjusted to that? Because that's a big adjustment.
Yeah, how have I adjusted to that? I've always been a pretty just like, I don't want to say like mundane person, but like just like, I don't do much. Mm-hmm. You know, I like when it was basketball, I was just basketball, you know, and like I'm happy with that. So in terms of like spending money, I really only spend money on like music videos.
Yeah.
And then like food.
So you minimize things. You
I wouldn't say minimize, that's just like the way I am. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like if I want to go spend money, it's like to buy something for a music video. I might buy like an extra pair of shoes because like I'm buying for a music video now, but like
But you don't get the invite. I mean, you're in Los Angeles now, right?
Yeah.
Parties every single day.
Events I don't really. So when I first got to LA, I went to a lot of parties, after parties, after party, to like make sure everyone had seen my face. Mm-hmm. But then like, you know, now like I just don't go as much. You know, I'd rather just like, if the party's like, it has to be right. You know what I mean? Like, but I'd rather just like chill at home, you know, like, you know, have a girl come over, you know, whoever I'm talking to at the moment, whatever that is. In terms of adjusting to fame. Yeah. I just try to stay oblivious. Mm. I think like, I don't think I'm at the point yet where it's super crazy. Like I'll still like go places, you know, like what I only ever go to the mall to like buy shit. But, in terms of like you were saying, adjusting to like feeling like the shit.
I say more the responsibility.
Yeah, the responsibility.
It's a lot. It's, I mean, like I always say, like you can have a team around you, but everything boils down to you.
Yeah. I just try to remain oblivious to it. I think like, I was blessed to not be crazy. Yeah. You know, like I don't smoke. I have no desire to. I'm not a crazy drinker. I drink in a moment, like where it's like to hype up the moment, maybe if I'm going to perform or something. I'm just not like a wild guy, you know? So it's pretty easy. Like everything I do, there's really no adjustment to my life because I was never out all the time anyways. I was never, I want to go see this. I want to go see, like, I don't care, you know? So it's like, that hasn't been a big adjustment.
So what is the goal for Dex now? Where do you see yourself, and what are you building here, legacy wise?
The goal has always been to put something into the world that's gonna last forever. Mm-hmm. I think everything falls under that umbrella. I want to be one of the biggest music artists in the world. Mm-hmm. I want to be considered. There's a bunch of things I want to be. I want to be one of the biggest music artists in the world, all genres. I want to be considered one of the best rappers of all time. I want to be widely regarded as one of the most influential people. I would say respected by my peers, but no, that's not really, that'd be nice. I'd love to be respected by my peers, but I know that's hard. You know, if people don't know you personally, they just go off stuff if they hear, so that's hard. But it'd be nice to be respected by my peers and just a lot of people in general. I would like to find a way to merge, being accessible as one of the biggest artists in the world, but still being not accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want people to feel like they know me, but I don't want people to feel like they know me.
I feel you.
You know? I want to, my biggest thing, I want to motivate a lot of people. I hate the idea of mediocrity. I hate complacency. I hate when people try to act like, yo, this is the caste system and where you're born is where you stay. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just in India, so I saw that, like, the outlook of, like, the country, and it's hard, mm-hmm. you know, for people who are born at a certain rank to rise. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I want to motivate people to, like, you don't have to die where you were born. Mm. So that's a big thing for me. Yeah, and just changing people's thought process, man. I just feel like the world is so full of just like I don't like the word, use the word mediocrity, but just use of just like, just so much just like people just like the acceptance of just like not being shit.
Yeah.
You know, and that just like makes me angry, you know?
You know, like the music business is a very harsh business, right? People come, yeah. people go, and people make really big hits and
yeah.
have the success, and somewhere at the end of the road, there's no insurance policy, and money isn't as fluent as possible. What are you? I mean, and we've seen it this over the past couple of years. There's been an uprise of like musicians becoming more entrepreneurs, building their own empires, and trying to diversify revenue, because you know the greater the message, the more infrastructure you need. What are you doing differently to ensure that you're not going to just be depending on your music to financially support you?
Doing differently, I wouldn't say I'm doing anything completely different. Like, I haven't innovated any new type of idea, but I'm starting, like, you know, obviously my own little company. I've always been in this, I call it like Living Legends, you know. I'm starting something in regards to that, like a company, and I've always, like, I have it tatted on my stomach and my ankles, and that's basically saying crown yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always believed, like, you don't have to, like, you know, you don't need anyone's approval to call you great. Mm-hmm. So I've been, like, you know, my mom started calling me great, and I've been calling myself great, you know, by her, you know, attachment. So I got Living Legends, so that's going to be a company I start. And within that, there's just going to be a lot of different things. I don't know if I'm going to start signing artists. I don't really know if, like, that's what I want to do. I might have someone else do that, like Brittany may do that. But, like, yeah, just a company, and, yeah.
See, for me, it's like... Because I've done a few things myself. I've got a tech company, social media platform called My Come Up, and it matches entrepreneurs from around the world. Have over 127,000 users to date. And it started, derived from a blog. We were the first like motivational blog online to be big on creating content on YouTube, which basically promoted advice from the best people from around the world and created these compilations. And I think over the years, I've been at this for like 10 years, right? And I found... One thing that I, especially just as a black male with a diversified taste, I like fashion, I like to go to nice places, I like being around the best people. But I always find that there's a misinterpretation of the image and who I am, right? I think people misunderstand a lot of the time how aggressive I am behind the closed doors when it comes to learning. How many documentaries I watch. But I'll go and watch black and white documentaries of Jack Johnson and see how he was, you know, the champion back in those days. Or, and I realized that misconception kind of, I think people were probably looking at your situation. They'd see you, you know, on Instagram, so that they think, if he's on Instagram doing a video, if I just do a video, that's what makes it, right? But there's always more depth to the person. There's always more, there's more behind it. Even when you say, you know, you call yourself great, you know, that's a free ability for anyone to do.
Yeah.
But what do people misunderstand about you that you feel?
I think right now there's like a big just like misunderstanding going around, you know, on the internet with Dax, that I'm just like, some people like, I don't know, say I'm a bad person because of some like decisions in the past and things like that. And I think a lot of those narratives have been created by other people. Some people probably say maybe he's like overconfident or cocky. What else? I think those are probably the most two. And, I try to sometimes I try not to like worry too much about things I can't control. I think
no, but over the, what that's a misunderstanding. But what is the truth?
I wouldn't say I don't think I'm a mean person. I think I'm very nice. I think I'm a very nice guy. I think I don't think I don't think I'm cocky. I think I'm just assured in myself. I just try to like tell people like, you know, you get like, instead, like people like will call you cocky, but then it's like, this is my thing. It's like, I've always like tried to like, yo, what is this person doing that's successful that I'm not doing? And how could I implement it into my life?
Yeah.
So it's like, if someone's doing something and they're being successful and, you know, you're not where you want to be, but you're criticizing them for it, like, why don't you try to see how you can implement some of their tactics into your life? You know, like, you should, I learn from people who are above me.
Yeah.
For 95% of the time, I don't learn from someone beneath me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm not going to ask Shaquille O'Neal how to shoot a basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, I watched Steph Curry. I watched Ray Allen. I watched Reggie Miller. I watched those guys. And it was never like, you know, Reggie Miller talk trash. Steph Curry doesn't talk as much trash. But it's like, you try to see what they're doing and how can it implement, you know, and work for you as you're growing. So I think, I mean, if people want to call, you know, it cocky, they call it whatever they want. But it's like, just try to take what people do. And if it's working for them, see how it can work for you in your own way. You know, so that's just my advice. I don't think I'm cocky. I think I'm a confident guy. I'm confident in what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to step out of my area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think rap wise, you know, don't say anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball wise, don't say anything to me. If like other shit, okay, bet. But like what I know I can do, I'm confident if you test me, you know? So
what fills your cup? What makes you feel that this journey is worth it?
What makes me feel that this music journey is worth it? Definitely just the messages from a lot of people. Like when someone tells me like, yo, man, like your music is the background when I'm working out.
Mm.
Like when I'm like, when I listen to your music, it makes me feel like I can do more with my life. Like that's very satisfying to me. Because I always call it people like music is like, it's the fucking, what's it called? The soundtrack to my life. Like there's songs in my head that I can remember, like working out to, like, you know, like when I first heard Tupac Hit 'Em Up, I always worked out to that shit.
Yeah.
So like to be someone else's soundtrack for like a moment in their life where they're like trying to become a better person, that's really like satisfying.
Awesome. So I got a segment in this podcast. I wrote a book start of the year called Become Your Own Hero Again.
Mm.
And I definitely feel like I'm on the same mission as you, brother. I'm really in line with I believe in purpose. I think at a certain point we distract ourselves through life. We think it's money, then we think it's the girl, and then we think it's the car. And you get to a point where every time you get experience, you think, well, hang on, like none of these things have made me who I am. And in fact, you know, even if I look back on my life 10 years ago, I was doing the same stuff I'm doing now, podcast and content-wise, on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So mission with the book was really to kind of remind people, you know, about the value they already have, because I think we're so distracted. There's so much information. You got to look at it like every second there's a sponsored advert. You've got the person you idolize that's posting their picture. On top of that, they've got a story or they might be on live, and it's saturated. And we're almost disabled from thinking or being able to see ourselves. So the book for me was really about helping people to get back to their inner voice.
Mm.
And I believe in things such as goal setting, affirmations.
Yeah,
it's essentially what you was also saying about your mum telling you you're great and you saying it, because it's the internal dialogue. And I think yes, externally whatever's presented to the world is a great spark, but if it's not inside, it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah.
Right? And one of the things I do in this podcast is I kind of just take a chapter. One of the chapters I'll say here, and I want to get your interpretation on it.
Oh yeah, I'm excited.
So one of the chapters I have here is called Perception is Your Reality.
Mm.
Now, I believe personally that, especially as someone that dropped out, I never had any financial backing for my parents. I actually lost my father when I was 9. So my perception at the time of dropping out was, if I don't get the B, if I don't get the A, I failed, right? Mm. And I think I didn't see beyond that period, because no one was explaining to me that there was more, even if that wasn't achieved, right? But as I've become older, especially when it comes to writing goals and affirmating every single day and literally living in a space outside of the realm of my current situation, whether I was broke at the time or I was on a sofa, believing that I was getting to that spot, to me, helped me to alter my reality. And I think reality is, if you flip it back, it's actually the perception that we perceive. It's how we see it, right? Sometimes we're at a bus stop, but it doesn't mean that's where we stop. It's what we're waiting for that bus to get on and go to the next place. But some people at the bus stop, the bus isn't around, and just in that small gap, they define their whole life on the bus stop period. And that moment never passes, right? And I feel like perception being your reality is about shifting and altering the way you're perceiving what's happening right now. Are you perceiving it as something that's temporary? Are you perceiving it as something that's defiant? Are you perceiving it as something that is a passing moment? And through that perception, and the second we learn to master the perception of reality, we become to see that this journey is more passing. You know, we start to realize, well, hang on, I'm in this moment, right? Mm. But I have to go through this moment. But not only do I have to go through this moment, but I have to go through this moment, but believing in the moment I know I want to come.
Mm.
So for me, that chapter was really about making sure people digest the concept of perception, not being what you're told, what you see, what you feel, what you smell, but really what you believe.
Mm.
Right? Have you ever had anything?
Yeah. What's on my mind right now? Talking about perception is your reality. I think all the points that you said are just like, they hit it right on the head. I'm trying to think of something a little bit different of the way I see it. It might be different. So when I think of like perception of reality, a good like analogy I always use is like prison. Like, funny thing, right? I had an unpaid parking ticket the other day that I didn't know about from like a year back. So I was actually in jail for a couple hours, right? I'm not a criminal, but I was in jail for a couple hours, right? And I always think about prison. And you think about, when I think of the word perception, I think of the word subjective. Mm. Like, everything's subjective. How you think of the word number two, your two could feel like 10 to me.
Yeah.
Right? So I think of prison. Perception is reality. Like, you ask someone in jail, what does 1 hour... Because when I was in jail for those, like, 5 hours, that shit felt like 2 days.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, you ask people, someone in prison, hey, bro, what? How... Like, they're in there for 50 years. You ask them how 1 minute feels, it's different than our 1 minute feels. So when I think of perception as reality, I think of subjectiveness, and it's always, like, how you perceive, like, time. Mm. You know? And, like, some people be like, oh, it takes someone, you know, 10 years to do this, da 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 da, but it's all how you perceive it. Mm. So I always feel it's like, it's almost like, I used to do like hypnosis when I was at my dad's house one time in Pennsylvania. It's like, whatever you convince yourself is the reality, after you do it for a long enough period of time, it will become your reality.
Yeah.
So I think that's super, like, perception is your reality is big. Cause like, for me, the thing is, like, people say, you know, I've done a lot in a shorter period of time, but it's like, maybe my 3 years is your 10.
Yeah.
You know, maybe your 10 years is, it's like, you know, we move at a different speed. So I always tell people, it's like, it's, you got to speed up.
Mm.
You got to get better at moving fast, you know? So it's like, I think that's what I think of when your perception, yeah, just changing your perception, yeah. But you have to know what your perception is first. And a lot of people don't take the time to be like,
honest.
Yeah. Honest. And that's one thing I try to do a lot with myself. It's like, okay, is this like, is this trash?
Mm.
Like, is this good? You know, like, I'll be like, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. A lot of people can't tell themselves, yo, this is bad.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I think knowing what your perception is the first thing.
Mm.
A lot of people don't know what their perception is. And once you figure out your own perception, now it's going about like the time it takes to trying to change it, which is just repetition.
Do you goal set? Do you do goals?
Oh yeah. I write down my goals, all that. I always say, like, man, if you don't write down your goals, they're just dreams. You know, like, I watched a video by a motivational video when I was like 10 or 11. And he said, as soon as you write down your goals, you surpassed like 99% of people in the world.
Wow.
Because like 99% of people don't write their goals down.
Yeah.
So after that, I just started writing down my goals.
And you review it like every year, every quarter?
So when I was in high school, it was like I had the same goals from like seventh grade to when I got to D1.
Yeah.
So those were like, they were always just there.
Mm.
But then now that I'm like in music, I try to set a lot more... monthly goals. I'm trying to get better at daily, but it's a little bit annoying. So I try to do like monthly, 5 months out, year.
So do you, and that's a good point you mentioned. You said you set these goals very early, and now, you know, you've let years go by, and we have a very instant generation. People see you, you rap, videos. I want it now.
Yeah.
What do you say to the young generation, to the people that are aspiring to be in a place that you're in?
I say you have to. You have to get good at being uncomfortable. You know, like, I don't believe in, oh, it's going to take this amount of time. It's like, I like, how fast is my fast?
Mm.
You know, and I can run my fast faster than you can run your fast. Or I can run my fast longer than you can. Like, I have more stamina at being super fast. So it's like, you gotta, what can you do every day? For example, if it's like sending 500 DMs, you just gotta stay consistent. I say, kids, it can come as fast as you want it to come. But it's about being ready for when it comes. Like, I call it, like, you know, getting ready for the storm. You know, make sure you have enough shit that when that blow up does come, you're ready for it.
Mm.
But in terms of, like, nothing's gonna come right away. You know, it's just consistency. Yeah, and you gotta fuck with the people who fuck with you at the end of the day.
Mm.
If you really want to blow up as an artist, you will reply to all your DMs until you can't physically do it anymore. You know, like, if you really want it.
Makes sense. What's next, Dex? What's next?
Got a show on Friday, Camden Assembly. It's my first headline show.
Congrats.
And it's in the UK. It's going to be dope. It's crazy. I was reading today, Russ said his first ever sellout show was in Belgium.
Wow.
You saw that shit? Yeah, so I was like, that's pretty cool. So my first headline show is going to be here in London, UK, so that's going to be dope. Then I'm doing the Fire in the Park on Saturday with Charlie Sloth. Got my first headline tour coming up October 18th across America. I think I'm going on a Canadian one after. And I got some shit dropping on October 10th. That's going to change the world.
Wow.
It's going to be, it's going to cause discussion, man. I don't know how long it's going to take to hit the world, but once it does, people are going to be like, wow.
This is music.
But I don't even want to call it music.
Oh, it's a message.
I don't even want to call it.
Oh, wow.
It's not, I wouldn't say it's a yeah. message. It's a conversation starter.
Yeah.
And it's questions that, you know, I've just been asking myself my whole life. It says some things that I think a lot of people are just going to, like, be like, whoa.
I can't wait.
Whoa. Wild.
I'm there. I'll get you some gifts, brother.
Oh, some gifts. Uh-oh. Some chocolate?
No, I haven't.
Oh, fuck yeah. What is this? Oh, hell yeah. This is lit. Large, too. How'd you know my size?
Brittany, I didn't know your size, but, you know, I got you.
Yeah, she got a medium. That'd be good. Hell yeah. Michael, that's lit.
But bro, I'm super, 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 super thankful for the time, for the message. Listen, I believe in what you're doing. And to be honest with you, I'm like I said before, whatever it is I saw, and I know it was about a year or two ago, it connected to why we're here today.
Wow.
And it was definitely me going to myself, wow, that's a story. I respect that. And I respect your bravery on doing what you're doing and putting the message out. And not only putting the message out, but representing and actually living it, because people put a message out and they turn on and turn off. But I can see consistently from everything you've put out, from your story to the music to your message, it's constant positivity. And you got to ignore what doesn't buy into that, because more buys into it than that doesn't. Right?
Facts.
And yeah, man, congratulations. Welcome to London.
Thank you.
You know, I'm glad you got to stop by. And oh, yeah. You know, thank you for joining Genius Dropouts.
Thank you, man. That shit was lit.
You genius, brother.
Thank you. Man, it's your boy Dax, and we back at it like a bad habit, and you sitting here listening to Genius Dropouts Podcast with Leonard Sekiyunda and myself, Dax.